Welcome in to another edition of The Current Report, our weekly roundup of what's happening in the world of digital media. I'm your host, Chris Brooklier. We're getting global with this episode, starting with Canada and ending in Australia. Canada's digital ad market is less than a 20th the size of the US, but it's undergoing some of the same transition happening in America. Streaming ad spend passed $1 billion for the first time last year, and that ascent seems to be continuing, as over $1.2 billion is projected to come through this year. As of 2023, four broadcast giants owned around 80% of the TV viewership in Canada: CBC, Bell, Rogers, and Corus. But streaming is creating more fragmentation in the market. So to talk about all these changes, we're bringing in an expert with decades of agency experience in Canada and the US. This interview was done at the Forward 24 event hosted by the Trade Desk, so there is a little bit of noise. All right, we are joined by Jennifer Lewis, the Chief Client Officer at Carrot in Canada. So how are we doing today?
I am excellent. Happy to be back in New York City on a beautiful sunny day.
I know, it's actually pretty warm out today.
It's nice.
So are there any through lines or like things that clients are really asking for? You know, what are sort of the trends that you're seeing?
I think it's interesting because I had a call about this morning, and I think the biggest thing clients are looking for, I think there's two themes going on right now in Canada specifically, is multicultural and diverse audiences and how we find them, how we target them in a responsible way. And Indigenous audiences is becoming really critical to local media story. You've talked to Sarah Thompson, my manager, previously, but really being authentic in how we talk to these really specific audiences in Canada and newcomers to Canada. There's at least 500,000 newcomers to Canada every year. And how do you do that right? And how do we start to set up measurement for that? Because it's a really specific audience, really hard to measure. How do we look at that? I think it's a really critical thing we're looking at right now. And it's a conversation happening with a lot of clients and testing into that.
Uh-huh.
And then I think the second thing is with all of the video platforms that are out there, and in Canada there's more and more streaming platforms, is how do we start to look at holistic reach and measurement across that? There's no one singular measurement. There's no one platform that optimizes all of those things together. The way we used to have like TV schedule optimizers, we don't have that across all the streamers and all the OLV platforms. And it's something clients are really trying to figure out, how do we solve for and know we're investing the right amount in all of these places?
Is it different in Canada? Because from my understanding, Canada is ruled by really the four major broadcast companies. So is it easier, I guess, to get that scale in Canada than it would be in the US?
I think there's a lot of pieces inside each of those holding groups and like ownership groups. There's a lot of different channels. So it's, how do you get rid of the long tail that's not adding value and find where there is value? So that's more on the traditional broadcast. But then when you look at apps and all of the apps that are coming out, they're still being sold somewhat separately and not measured the same way as traditional television.
Yeah.
So how do we start to think about that holistically as video? I look at myself, I moved back to Canada 10 months ago. I don't have cable, but I will tell people I watch TV. I have a TV in my living room. But if you're not doing streaming, you're never going to talk to me. Which I think is interesting, but I will tell you I watch TV, but I don't in a traditional way.
Of course, but like the TV, I think today is the big screen that you watch on, right? So it does.
But the traditional broadcasters, you're not getting me on either, unless they're on the streaming platforms.
True.
In a lot of cases, we have to buy those separately.
True. Yeah, so it sounds like streaming is sort of like, you're sort of having to refigure your strategy, right,
mix of that and all the platforms. And I think what's really interesting as consumers is like turning on and off those streaming platforms. Like, this show came out, so I'm going to pay for this month. And then I've finished watching that, and then I'm turning that off and picking a new streaming platform to subscribe to for the next month for the new show. That makes it incredibly hard for us to find those audiences, because there's very little consistency.
So how do you track the people, basically?
I don't think we have a good solution yet. I think this is where we're using a lot of the vendor and partner supply data and trying to pull it together. And we at Dentsu are working on a solution to try to close the gap across all of those partners. But there's a lot of assumptions and data gap filling that we're having to do to make that real.
Gotcha. Okay, I want to go back to the first thing that you said, yep. where you're talking about the multicultural yep. audiences. Like, why is that important for a brand to lock in on? Like, what do they get out of reaching those audiences?
Well, without it, you're missing a pretty significant portion of Canada, or just talking to them in a traditional English or French model, is you're missing that personal connection. And I think in a world where everything can be personalized digitally, we should be having those personal connections. The other thing is, of those at least 500,000 newcomers to Canada every year, self-reported, 83% of them don't feel comfortable in English. So they are seeking media platforms in the language they are comfortable with. And if we don't introduce them to Canadian brands and products, how are they making those choices if we can't put advertising and marketing in front of them to influence that consideration set? And
that's interesting. I feel like at least the sense that I get outside looking in on Canada is there's so much more of a local focus on like Canadian brands or local media or getting into local journalism or getting, you know, sort of all of this stuff. Do you feel like that's really like the case? Is my perspective correct?
Yeah, I think it's an important thing in Canada. We have what we call VetCom, which is our six major markets. Vancouver, Edmonton, Toronto, Calgary, Ottawa, Montreal. We call it VetCom. You'll see it sometimes. And that's where the major population is. But when you actually look at where the growth is coming in and the population and newcomers to Canada, they're not going to those cities because it's way too expensive. So you have to go to, I use this as an example because I grew up in Woodstock, Ontario. It is one of the fastest growing cities in Canada right now. And it is newcomers to Canada. And if you just focus on Toronto, you're going to miss this entirely new audience locally in a town that, when I grew up there, was 19,000 people. It's now over 46,000 people. But you have to think about, where is that growth coming from? Where are people coming and start to build those relationships?
Wow. Okay, that's pretty interesting. Okay. You know, as we talk about measurement, I think one of the big looming things this year is obviously the deprecation of cookies. So how do you think about that sort of as we look into the full picture and how that affects what you do?
So measurement without cookies is a factor because everyone's testing new solutions to find different ways to address it. And I think it's an interesting time, like with AI and models and filling in data and making assumptions with like using AI to fill in the gaps. We can do some of that too. And what is the ethical way to do that and remove bias when you're using AI for data? There is a challenge there for sure.
Well, great talking with you.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
Thanks.
Next, we're capping off this episode with one last thing. Meta is shutting down Facebook News in the US and Australia next month. This comes as Facebook shifts its strategy to short-form video, noting that viewership for the news tab in the two countries is down 80% since last year. Zach Wang dove into this news for a story on The Current, looking at how publishers are thinking about the future of referral traffic. It's a great read if you haven't checked it out. Facebook has paid millions of dollars to news organizations since 2019, but a report from Columbia University found that Meta and Google owe news publishers in the US approximately $12 to $14 billion for making money off their content. A Google spokesperson pushed back at the report, saying it's, quote, in support of a biased conclusion, end quote. Now, Sky News journalist Jack Houghton, who's based in Australia, called out the tech titans for their role in shaping the future of journalism.
Meta and Google collectively take 60%, so 60 cents on every dollar of online spend. That is them. They've come into the advertising market and they've soaked up all of this revenue. They've monetized the content of hardworking journalists. They've recorded a $39 billion profit last year. And then they've turned around and said, well, thank you for all of your content. We're not going to compensate you. We don't believe in any of the copyright payments back for fair use of your journalism.
And in a statement, Meta wrote that news publishers can still drive traffic to its sites through its Facebook or Instagram pages. And that's it for this edition of The Current Report. For a deeper dive on all these stories plus more, check out thecurrent.com. And of course, please like and subscribe on YouTube, plus leave us a review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen. And if you want to hear more from The Current, Listen to The Current Podcast, where we interview some of marketing's biggest leaders about their keystone career moments and where the industry is going next. We'll see you next week.